Want to lose up to 15% of your body weight? Fridays helps you achieve lasting weight loss. We combine GLP-1 medication with nutritional coaching, mental health support, and fitness plans tailored just for you. All included in one monthly price. At Fridays, one price. Every month, all doses and everything is included. Getting started is simple. Take our quiz and get connected with a provider to start your journey. Fridays is certified by LegitScript, so you know the medications are produced safely by accredited pharmacies. Check us out on Trustpilot with over 1,000 five-star reviews. Don't wait. Save $100 off any plan when you start your weight loss journey today. Visit joinfridays.com and use code Fridays100. That's joinfridays.com, code Fridays100. joinfridays.com, code Fridays100. Medications will only be prescribed by a licensed clinician if deemed medically appropriate after a thorough consultation. Results are not guaranteed and may vary by individual. Compounded products are not FDA approved or evaluated by the FDA for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Please visit our website for important drug safety information.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu. All right, welcome back. Last time on the show, we were joined by Brent Pope, and we bugged out over Blue Beetle versus Spider-Man. You watched, you listened, you voted. Some of you voted correctly, but we won't hold you to it. And now we're going to go back, and we're going to share our final thoughts, and we're going to let you know who really took the win based on your votes. I am Sam Proof on all the socials. This is my cat. That's okay. And if you find my socials, send me a spider emoji for bonus points. I'm joined, of course, by the one and only Ray Stecanus. Ray, how's it going? What's going on?
I am having a tremendous day. It is a Sunday. We're going over feedback for the Spider-Man versus the Blue Beetles, yeah. And I am here for it. I like it. You know, I've gone into many a commentary section before from many different positions, jobs, working in the video game world, and boy, those comment sections can get real feisty. It was a treat to go into the comment section on all the places today for this episode and find out that everybody generally agrees with me. How often does that happen? Let's go.
Nice, nice. Well, we've got a special treat for everybody. Joining us once again in the shotgun seat is Delvin Cox, who you may have seen on our recent episode, Daredevil vs. Batman. If you haven't heard it already, go check it out. Delvin, welcome back. How you doing?
It's great to be back, as always. The fifth member of Knowing is to Have the Podcast, the 16th member of the Wu-Tang Clan, the nice. Fourth member of Who Would Win. I'm back, baby.
Nice. Well, good to have you back. Thank you.
It's like we can't keep you away. And trust me, I've tried.
Who gave him keys to the building?
You know, he told me afterwards, he told me before we started, Ray didn't even send me a link. I just found an old one, clicked it, and here I am.
Like you did last time in episode one.
Fantastic.
Look, here's the deal. I would just say this is a security loophole I think we need to fix somewhere. What's going on, Riverside?
Yeah. I was wondering about that. I feel like I've done that in the past too, but I typically try and find the most recent link just in case.
No one tells me these. Someone's going to break into my house, and afterwards you guys are going to be like, oh, yeah, we all notice the doors open constantly. Hey, thanks, guys.
Somebody just put tape over that lock. I don't know.
And it's funny because he invites you over, then doesn't leave anything open for you. You're like,
well, I do that, yes.
Break into my house, please.
I'm very busy. I can't be bothered to remember who's coming over when.
That's a good point.
Just show up and hang out in my patio. We'll see you eventually.
Yeah. I've been here for 3 days. We haven't. All right, guys. Let's break it down and wrap it up. We're talking Blue Beetle versus Spider-Man.
That's right. We're going to open this up here. We're going to do some of the brand new reviews to the Who Would Win Network. You know I love talking about this. If you put a 5-star review for the Who Would Win Network. I will read what you have to say on air, even if I disagree with it. Perfect way to get me, or I make Sam read it, or something. Also, a couple of the new reviews are just people who re-upped their old reviews. So you'll hear some names again, because apparently that's a thing you can do. But I don't care. I'm here for it. Now, the first one is just titled, I Have Ideas, .. But then I realized it's only a 4-star review, so I'm not going to read it. I'm going to move on. Get it right, nerd.
Your ideas will not be hurt today.
I will not be saying your name. Then I'll say your name.
Is that your way of just not doing something so I have to read the next review? You're like, that's it. I just veto.
Yes, also no.
Cheap move.
I respect it.
No, when it comes to telling our audience that they're wrong, I want to be first in line to do it.
Yes.
Is that a kink with our audience I need to know about? Is that a thing?
No, I have seen people leaving amazing. They say, Ray is awesome. This was a great show. 1-star. And I go, I don't think you know how this thing works.
That is not how the star system works.
We're a 4.7, and there are some people that have given us 1 to 2 stars over the years who just had a problem with, like, a decision on the show, or they think my voice is annoying. Whatever happens. But the fact is, I'll look at some of these, and I'll be like, you clearly like what we're doing. You clearly want to be involved, and you can't even give us the respectful 5-star review that we ask for. You get nothing.
Yes.
Yeah.
5 stars or go home.
5 stars or leave me alone.
Yes.
I mean, even do if we have a special tier terrible. On the, yeah. I was going to say, Patreon, do we have a special tier on the Patreon where they can leave a comment no matter how good it is or bad? Yeah,
that's right. No,
great.
But for real, Sam, if you put 5 stars on it, you can make me read terrible things about myself. I do not care.
I prefer that.
The sweet review. Yeah, no, Delvin wants it.
I actually prefer that. I would want everybody to write a 5-star review and say terrible things about her.
Sure.
Now, I might hand some of these off to Sam, but that might hurt even more, quite honestly, because then I lose control of the narrative.
Right. But it might be hard to read anyway. Those and be like, and again, this is not me saying this, but.
No.
No, I'll be super mad. It doesn't matter.
I will want to read them.
I might have to do that. Sam, I'll have like
I'm still mad at you for saying it.
All right, let's move on. Oh, the Amazing Pug says, Ray is awesome.
Welcome back, Amazing Pug.
Welcome back.
I love this guy.
Yeah, Ray is awesome. Please do 11 either. From Stranger Things, which that's a great character,
yeah,
obviously.
We have. We talked about that before. Great character. Yeah, and we did 11 in the previous iteration of Who Would Win a few years ago. I think when the new Stranger Things season comes out, because there's one more season to go, right?
Yeah.
We should do 11 from Stranger Things.
Absolutely.
Maybe in a better matchup than we had her in last
time. What was the previous matchup?
Solomon Delvin. Grundy, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was Solomon Grundy.
Okay.
See, I remember.
And I think there were some arguments that 11 could have used to... 11 won the battle. Spoiler alert. But I don't think the judge's reasoning for winning the battle were very good. It's one of those classic cases of they created a narrative to fit where they wanted to go and said, if she's using telekinetic powers, it doesn't matter how strong Solomon Grundy is. He just gets stuck and he can't move. And that's it. That's the end of the battle. And I was like, that's kind of lame. That's kind of lame. That's
Hear
not
me
exactly
out.
How it works. Yeah, yeah. Still
I like using 11. But why not use all the kids?
All the kids from Stranger Things.
All the kids. Interesting.
Against a bigger threat. I think that'll be really cool.
Like a boss battle kind of a deal. All the kids versus like one medium level monster.
Yes.
Like Darth Maul.
Ooh.
Oh, Lord. Well, look, if Kylo Ren can murder that whole thing of Jedi children, I don't think Darth Maul's going to have much of a problem with a bunch of kids with no powers save one.
Yeah.
All right.
I like the visuals on
how stronger 11 gets after the season.
Well, you know, that's a
I
good
mean, yeah,
point.
That's
11
fair.
Might go Super Saiyan.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's fair. All right. Well, we got one more. We got a third review. It's from I Love Torchic. He refreshed his review as well. The review says, hello. So, hello. Hello, Torchic. Hello. How you doing? his
Welcome.
Thing is Hulk versus The Thing. Versus uh-huh. Red Hulk
sure.
versus Juggernaut. Must I go on?
I mean, I you could go on.
yes, go on.
We don't We don't typically use characters of Marvel versus Marvel. We don't really use four characters in a show. We don't use characters from the same universe. I try to get away from that whenever possible because I think it's more interesting to have different worlds colliding. Plus, these characters already fought each other a million times in Marvel Comics.
Sure. I mean, yeah, throw Kingpin in there.
Let me ask, what is his caveat? Does he want like a tag team match? Like WWE that's interesting. Style?
It seems
there's
like
just a bunch of verses there. So yeah, it looks like cage match style.
Okay, like a fatal four-way match.
A fatal four-way. Thank you. I'd forgotten what they call those things.
You were the wrestler.
That doesn't matter. You know how much wrestling knowledge has been beaten out of me, Delvin Cox?
This does bring up a thought, though, because like last wrap up, I mentioned doing like a Halloween, like literally Mike Myers versus Jason versus Freddy Krueger, whatever, you know, like that kind of thing, like that. And then after that episode, I was like, or we could just do like a bracketed tournament and just have all these mini matches until it goes down to the final two. So maybe
I like that. I have an idea for using it. Could be a Halloween. It could be something else. We could play with the idea, it's off the top of my head, but doing like a gauntlet style match where we bring on like three guest debaters and then they debate each other and then one gets eliminated and then the two that are left debate each other with their care. And then finally, whoever wins that trio comes and then will battle me in the final round.
Sure.
And then, you know, and then we could see what happens. That could be an ultimate sort of a competition. And we could do that. It could be maybe even a slightly extended episode with a little bit, you know, one round and then judgment kind of a deal. So you really got to put your points into 3 minutes. That would be a real interesting challenge. And if we did it with horror icons, maybe there's something there. That's not a bad idea.
For sure.
That's a pretty good idea.
I like that. Huh. And we got plenty of time to work on that because October's a while away. It'll be here sooner than you know.
Closer than you think, Sam.
It is. Yes.
I'm working on something for October now. I'm like,
that's
ain't
true.
That the truth?
Yeah.
So we moving on. Yeah. What do we have here, Sam?
All right. So the final tally is in. It's overwhelming. I think this may be the one that is the most weighted to one side we've had so far. And drum roll. We don't have a drum roll effect. No. All right.
Oh, hold on. I do have a drum roll. I know. Hold on. I have one, Sam Proof. Let me just get it queued up.
Oh. All right. Your winner with 83% of the vote is Blue Beetle. There it is.
Wow.
Spider-Man got 17. 17% for Spidey.
17%. Now, I want to say it's due to my great debating. So I'll say it's due to my great debating.
Oh, you're a real masturbator.
The margin would be beat that Kevin Goatee put out the last episode.
Yeah.
Apparently, I was wrong.
I
feel good.
Yeah.
No, go ahead, Sam.
I was gonna say, maybe all the Spidey fans were just celebrating too hard. It was a holiday. They're just out there partying.
I think I bludgeoned Brent Pope so hard that even the Spider-Man fans went into hiding.
They're like, He's already dead.
It's fine. No, I love it. Here's the deal. Spider-Man, one of my favorite characters anywhere. I hated having to try to take him down. Blue Beetle, I'm kind of generally ambivalent on as a character.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen enough, but I haven't seen enough that's really gotten me like to become a mega fan of the character. You know, sometimes it doesn't take much. Sometimes you see a lot of something and you kind of like Doctor Strange at first. Sure. I wasn't like a huge after the movies and the comics. It just wasn't hitting with me. But then somewhere around the what is it? Multiverse of Madness. I went, oh, never mind. I love this guy. This guy's amazing.
Yeah.
So it happens. Right. Maybe it'll happen with Blue Beetle someday. I respect
him. I like the movie.
Yeah.
The Blue Beetle movie?
Yeah. I enjoyed it a lot.
I've never seen it. Now, that trailer came out, and I didn't think that trailer looked very good. And I'm not here to just like try to say mean things about whatever, except our former competitors on the show, apparently. But what I would say is I saw it and I was not overly impressed. It seemed very, I don't know, paint by numbers, uninspired, like a normal DC movie. It was just going to come out and be underwhelming. And I know the reviews weren't great.
Surprisingly, I want to say it's one of the best DC movies out of that last cinematic universe.
Okay. Oh, okay.
It's surprisingly really good with a lot of heart. I liked it way more than I thought I would.
Impromptu question, because I'm actually very curious about this. And I'm very interested. That's it. I might have to check it out now just based on that recommendation, quite honestly. Maybe I just got it wrong. What are your top three? You don't have to rank them, but what are your top three DC movies of this last iteration? You can't go Michael Keaton Batman or Adam West Snyder, Batman or George Clooney Batman. No, you got to keep it in the more recent, you know, from Man of Steel onward, I guess.
Okay.
I'm curious what you guys think.
Wonder Woman.
Wonder Woman.
I liked a lot. I want to say the Batman, but I don't want to count that because it's kind of on its own thing.
But it counts. That counts for me. It's a DC movie.
Yeah, okay, I'll put that one. The Batman, I like that one a lot. I know people had its problems with it, but compared to what else came out in this Snyderverse, I think this is like,
yeah. Yeah, fair. And then what's your third one?
Ooh, it's a toss-up between... The Suicide Squad, not the first one.
Right.
The second
one. The other one. The good one. And Blue Beetle.
And Blue Beetle. Okay, great.
All right.
Where are you at with this, Sam?
Can I go far enough back to get Watchmen? Because then it's just Watchmen all the way down.
I want to say no, but it's your rules. You do what you want to do.
I honestly don't know that I can do a top three. I think it's just Watchmen.
Just Watchmen. That's fair. Because who watches the DC universe? Not Sam Proof.
Yeah. I mean,
you know, my three, I would say, and it's, yeah, go ahead. No, you're good.
I was going to say, I feel like I definitely have missed a lot, but I think Bird of Prey would be good. Yeah. Or a Suicide Squad.
See, that's it. So here we go. You guys nailed it. So you've got Wonder Woman would be my third.
Okay.
Birds of Prey would be my second.
That was a good one.
And then the second Suicide Squad movie would be my favorite.
Yeah,
second Shazam, one. Okay. Honorable mention. I did like the first Shazam movie a lot.
Yeah, the first Shazam movie was fine.
I like that one. You know, I know a lot of people like the Aquaman movie, and it might be my least favorite of any of them.
It's fun. It's not
good.
Yeah,
I've just never been an Aquaman fan. Like,
and I love Momoa in that role, too. Like...
Yeah.
But I actually quit. I tapped out halfway through that movie. I got about an hour into the Aquaman movie and my wife was asleep on the couch. Like she was gone. She tapped out. And I'm just like, I don't really know what's happening in this movie and I don't care. Probably means I should just, I almost always watch a movie. Like 99% of the time I'll finish it if I start it. And I did not finish Aquaman. I allowed myself the privilege of tapping out.
Yeah.
But
well,
I missed the cool Black Manta scene. I missed that.
Yeah. I like Black Manta.
If we can figure it out, maybe we can do a Blue Beetle watch party with our Patreon.
Oh boy.
Users.
Yeah. How about that?
That'd be fun.
If we can do that.
I like that idea.
Yeah. All right. Moving on. Max the Man 1001 is back. He says, "Here's the thing. Guys, I see Spider-Man winning." This is Max. But based on the given arguments, I too would go with Blue Beetle. Brent should have said some of Spider-Man's best takedowns along with... Yep, that's all, folks. Blue Beetle's losses, but never did. Much like Brent serves up breakfast, he served up a win for Ray. Yeah.
Well, who could blame him?
Wow.
There you go. Yeah,
thank you, Max.
That's fair. Yeah.
You know what, Max? I'm going to give Max credit because when this battle was first announced, I was a little worried that people would just pick their favorite character.
Sure.
Like, okay, Spider-Man's probably going to overwhelmingly win, and people are not going to listen to the arguments.
Yeah.
But it seems like the Who Would Win audience listened to the arguments, and for the most part, it was like, well, Brent Pope, you didn't bring enough. We like Spider-Man, but you didn't bring enough to win this battle. And I think that's a fair assessment.
Is that where you came down after listening to the episode, Delvin Cox?
I think so, yeah. I think Brent Pope did a good job. I think there was a lot of things he left on the table that I thought that he could have used to his advantage, and including, like, if you look at Spider-Man's Rogues Gallery, Spider-Man has some of the best rogues in comics history, including a character named the Beetle. You know,
he has multiple
characters that have the similar two sets of abilities as Blue Beetle, and I wish Brent would have went a little bit more detail with those characters. Venom's a good example, you know, in terms of kind of creating his own weapons on the fly and things like that. There are a lot of different characters in the Spider-Man universe he could have kind of went to. I'm surprised he didn't.
Yeah, because Spider-Man uses his brain a lot to outthink people, when he got the Juggernaut stuck in cement or something.
Yes.
You know, and there's a lot of good moments like that. And, you know, sometimes when we're doing these battles, I'll let you in on the thought process a little bit. You know, I come in not really knowing I have an idea where I think they should come from with the counter research that we do for the show. I have an idea how I would approach it. And it's always interesting to have sort of a unique approach. But then sometimes people will come on and then it'll just be like a moment where I'm like, oh, they're slipping. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you just get that one wild pitch in the baseball game. Know, you're like, oh, I think
the controls might get a little loose. Or they leave 30 seconds on the clock before the timer chimes.
That was yes. it. That was yes. that was the moment, was when he had 30 plus seconds to go in round one. He right. mentioned a very powerful thing that he wanted to bring up. He had time to do it, and then he said, yeah. I'm going to punt that till later and not use my whole time, which Brent Pope hasn't done a ton of these Who Would Win battles. He's done sure. a few. He's not like a first timer coming in here. I'm not going to pretend like he is, and he knows he isn't. But like, to not use your full time is like the grand sin of Who Would Win Masters, at least in the early going.
Yes.
Yeah.
But to be fair, I think this is what we were talking about before when my episode. It's not easy to sit on that side of the debate table and kind of put that argument out there. And you sometimes think you have enough points, and then you realize, oh, I only have this much time to get these points across. So you have to get your points off in time. And then sometimes you may leave stuff on the table without realizing it. Sometimes that stuff that you leave on the table might be the point that can win you the battle.
Yeah.
And, you know, and also, like, sometimes it's the counters, too. A friend of the show, Matt Harris, said many times as a judge, he goes, the counterpoints are where the battles are won and lost.
Yes.
Oh, and yeah,
so
for sure.
You better come with some good counters every time.
Yes.
You know, so I'm going to read the next one here. Forbidden Mob, buckle in. Forbidden Mob has a lot to say. Because Forbidden Mob wrote one comment and then came back like 2 hours later and added a part two.
And another thing.
That's right. He Columbo'd us.
I had some time to think.
Here's the deal. And I love it. Look, I goof on people for writing too long, but we need content for this show. So, Snurts, I take it all back. I apologize. Please come back and you'll see what happened with him a little bit later.
Yeah.
I take it all back. Give me another novella. I need the content. Forbidden Mob. What an episode. Double exclamation point. Brent Pope brought the heat. Ray, of course, did a stellar job, always does. I don't know why I'm reading this one. I'm so divided with who wins because Beetle has the tech, but Peter has the experience. I do think Beetle's downfall would be the scarab mind debates would hinder Beetle. Like Mr. Pope said, Peter's determination and experience could overcome far more powerful foes. I'll admit the pulling punches comment muddled the waters. Brent Pope, that was an unforced error. Still, Spidey beat the Fantastic Four. He fought and beat the X-Men and won against the Juggernaut. But Beetle did beat Lobo in a one-off, which is impressive, but it is still a one-off. I'm probably in the minority according to this poll, but Spidey takes this. Well, probably. LOL. It's close, okay? Amazing episode. This is peak Who Would Win content. Great job, all. And another thing. Also, Brent Pope brought up a great point about the differences in intelligence. Peter is incredibly smart. He'd have a fair chance at shutting down or disabling the suit. Yes, this version's Beetle has never lost, but I think Marvel's most iconic could, in fact, pull it off. Not bad. That's a comment right there.
See?
Yeah, and that's some really good points. Yeah.
Very good points. This is the thing. This version's Beetle has lost plenty of times. Brent Pope just didn't mention any of the times he lost.
Didn't bring it up.
This is the problem. Yeah, and you know when you're, well, I'll say right now, because these are timed rounds, and the person who's the guest, the guest debater, has three-minute rounds and 3 1-minute counters, which means they have 12 minutes in the episode total to make their case, right? I come back with 3 3-minutes. I don't get those counterpoints, but I get 2 minutes at the end. So I come back with 11 minutes to make my case. I am trying to be such a giving fellow that I'm giving the challenger an extra minute to beat me with. And so far, in 3 episodes, the people have agreed that I have won every time. Is this going to be like Goldberg's streak? Am I going to go like 72 matches in a row without losing? I hope so.
It's funny that
I
came the closest.
You did?
That was
a tough battle.
It's like, look, people, you got to use your time and you got to do your research.
Yes. Yeah.
As we've seen these 3 episodes, Ray's going to bring it. And if you're not prepared for that, you're going to fall short. Depending on how much research you do, it's going to be a little or it's going to be a lot. And the thing about it is, the audience is going to call it out. This is not like the old Who Would Win, where the judge may get a decision right or may get a decision wrong. You can't yell at Sam for this.
Nope.
It's the people.
You can, but I don't care.
The decisions.
Yeah, that's right. Sam gives a decision just for the sake of that episode, right?
Yes.
We don't assume that Sam's decision is the final authority in any way whatsoever. Nope. Yeah. Now, it happens to be that Sam has agreed with the people in every single match.
Yes.
Yep.
And you know, you might say, oh, well, Sam and Ray, they got this show and they obviously are in blah, 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 blah. Well, the people have agreed with Sam every time, you guys.
Yeah. Yes.
So,
and I got to tell you,
I don't know what to tell you.
I've come into, I think, every show thinking I knew who was going to win and it wasn't going to be Ray. And then I have been convinced otherwise. So I am an open, you know, an open book to this, clean slate, even though I do have a preconceived, like, I think maybe it's this, but then boom, it's not, you know.
Yeah. If anything, Sam comes into every episode wanting me to be defeated.
Correct.
To be fair. but he's got to call it how he sees it at the same time.
Yeah.
Look, I am going to bring the heat. If you are a fan of this show for any length of time, you understand the barrage that's coming at you as a competitor, as a debater. And if you're not ready for that smoke, then stay out of the kitchen because I cook badly. Lots of smoke.
Well,
that's right.
I'm going to lay out this challenge for all the future competitors.
Okay.
The challenge now is who's going to be the first one to beat Ray.
It's a great question.
That is good.
It's a great question.
So you got to bring it now. You've seen the first three try and fail, and you can learn from each one of us who took that path. You can take what you learned from me, take what you learned from Brent Pope. Don't take nothing from Kevin Goatee.
No, you know, you from Kevin Goatee, you should take be hilarious.
Yeah.
You know, it does not do you a disservice to win the crowd over with your humor. And correct. I think Kevin did a great job with that.
He did.
Yes, he did.
But take what you learned from us three, you bring in what you have to bring to the table.
Absolutely.
And use those tools that you got to beat Ray.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I will say, we have the next few matches booked out. We know what some of the matchups are going to be. I'm only going to share the next one at the end of this episode.
Right.
But we have some judges. Not judges. I always say judges. I got to get used to the debaters. New format. We have new debaters coming in. A couple of them are names you may have seen before on recent seasons of the Who Would Win show. And we have two new debaters, completely new. You have never seen them on the show before. And I expect both of them to bring absolute fire. We also do still have a couple of people I haven't had a chance to get back around on in what we call in the hopper. People who have sent us the demos, and we think they did a good job, and we need to get them on here. But we only make so many episodes a year. It takes so much time. But we have some people, and I want to say there are openings. If you want to send your one-minute demo of you arguing to whowouldwinshow@gmail.com, and you think you're ready to engage, I'm here for it. I don't care, you know, at this point what your social media following is. That was a big deal for getting judges on. I want people who are going to bring the heat and make good episodes of this show. And I want passionate people and I want knowledgeable people. And if that's you and you listen to these shows, you'd be like, I could beat that guy. Well, come prove it, bucko.
All right. Let's good move luck. On to the next comment. Ken Turner says, with what was argued, I agree with the decision. If Spider-Man had the Iron Spider suit, he probably would have won. He has more experience in fighting other enhanced individuals that if the tech was equal, Spider-Man's experience would have won it. It's a fair thought. I mean, maybe.
That's a fair look. I thought the tech argument was the right one to bring to the table. And it seems like that's the, from just listening to the people, that's the one that resonated the most with our audience. So I like it when I'm right. Because I've got arguments I thought were great before, and they've hit like a lead fart. So I'm sorry, Delvin, go ahead.
I agree, but I think some of that kind of got slept on is that Spider-Man has a lot of tech himself.
He does. Like,
I think because Spider-Man is so awesome and powerful, people can kind of forget that he has like multiple versions of his tech, like, you know, T tasers and spider trackers and a whole bunch of other things that he has at his disposal that people just kind of neglect.
Let me tell you, if I was repping Spider-Man in that battle, I would have 100% brought the symbiote suit. I would have brought that onto the table. I mean, look, it's not Venom per se. It's Spider-Man with the symbiote suit. But if you're allowing the Scarab, you got to also allow the symbiote suit. I wasn't going to tell Brent Pope in any chance to make that argument. But I can say it now that the battle's over. If this was reversed and I was doing Spider-Man the opposite against Blue Beetle, that is where I would target my argument 100%.
I would 100% would have used a symbiote suit, especially considering that the symbiote suit is not a one-time thing for Spider-Man.
No, not at all.
Oh, no, yeah,
it's been around for a while. You definitely, that definitely should be on the table.
And it comes back over and over again. You're right. It's not just a one-shot.
Yeah.
So listen, and that's my freebie for the day.
There
you go,
people.
Get Brent Pope on, and then he can do Blue Beetle, and I'll do Spider-Man, so I can beat him again.
Right, man, that would be embarrassing.
And this is what I was talking about before. This is the next review. Snurts, in a reply to Ken Turner's comment, just says, what Ken said. Snurts, I get it.
There you go.
I get what you're doing. I'm sorry. I should not have called you out so strongly for writing a long one. I want long comments now.
It's like every episode, his comment gets shorter paragraphs. And shorter. Next time, it's just going to be ditto.
Yes.
Hey.
He's going to be out there just saying, yeah.
Yeah.
Like he's beyond threads replying to something. Yeah. Unbelievable.
Snurts, all right.
You rascal.
Snurts, please. Yeah, add more. Do it up. All right. Josh Marin, taking a page out of Snurts' book, just says Blue Beetle.
Yeah, he did. And this was a comment on one of the first posts that we made about it, looking for the comments. And, you know, you can tell who listened to the episode and who just saw the picture and made a comment.
Yes.
And, you know, I think Josh has been on this list a couple of times with short comments saying that this is my opinion. And you know what? I'm reading it here, so obviously I don't hate it.
Yeah.
I'll take what I can get. But this is followed up by Manny E. Osamin, who said, Blue Beetle is a world-destroying weapon. The Beetle looks weak because it's possessed by a teen who doesn't want to kill. Exactly. Mm-hmm. You can't compare a nuke to a grenade, no matter how fancy the grenade looks. That's a good point. Thanks, Manny.
Yeah. That is a good point.
Yep.
Look who the next one's by.
I mean, should we? I guess he doesn't have access to the sheet, so we can't have him just read it in his own words.
Hold on a sec.
Oh.
I know, hold on a sec. Well, I'm gonna put it on screen, Delvin Cox, and then you can just read it.
Okay.
Let's see. Off your own screen, okay?
Okay, perfect.
So here we go. Let me just do this. Da, da, da. Why is it not working all of a sudden? Oh, no, here we go. Here we go. This is it right here. Now I can put it in the chat. Showing it on stream.
Delvin Cox says, never trust a man with a mustache. That was a response to Brent Pope's mustache.
That was a response. Brent Pope was shooting a movie. And when we recorded that, Brent Pope was shooting a movie over in, New Mexico? And he, I can't talk about what he was doing in the movie, but it was a character that needed that mustache. And honestly, based on what my understanding of the movie is, it's going to be amazing. Do you want to see Brent Pope just in a role that will shock you? And a role that he was born to play, in a role that, let me say it, kicks a lot of butt.
Okay.
I don't know what this movie is even called, but when it comes out, we are going full court press to help it in every way possible because I want to see this movie.
Yes, I'm going to buy 6 copies of it.
Thank you.
3 of those will be bootleg.
Oh, no, that's fine. We want everybody to get paid on the Who Would Win Masters show.
Yeah, even the bootleggers.
There we go.
Nice. Fantastic.
I'm going to read the next one. We've got Nate978 who says Blue Beetle because hashtag Ray is right ... again. That's right.
Good job.
This is the best comment section I've ever read. I can't wait till I drop the ball and people let me hear it because I'm not going to enjoy that episode as much. I'm not going to lie.
I'm going to enjoy that episode a lot.
Yeah, we'll have to get a lot of comments. We'll not have you back for that, but who knows? Just find an old lake and show up anyway.
That link will be gone.
That link is disappearing. I'll tell you that right now. What is happening?
Oh God. Yeah, but and Delvin you, probably knows our schedule, so he can just pop in.
I actually do.
Guys, I found another security problem with our protocols.
There are two shows that's usually recorded around this time.
Right.
That is correct. Boy. Sam, we got two left. Let's bang them out.
All right. Gabe Ingrata says Blue Beetle should win. Well, and he did.
And he did. How about that?
He won.
And last one here we got Lord Moxford. What's up, Moxie? He says, I have to agree. I think the default programming of the Scarab to keep Jamie alive can outthink and outadapt anything Spider-Man can throw at him. Blue Beetle won this. And I'll just go ahead and check our Patreon. You know, you can hit us up on Patreon at patreon.com/WhoWouldWinShow. And for very little, you can join us. You can even join us for free if you wanted to. And you can get access to behind-the-scenes pictures and videos. We're getting some stuff from Unleashed on there now, which is very, very exciting.
Yes.
Not just Master stuff. Not that that's, you need more than Master stuff. But we are getting more stuff out of that show now as they're getting their operation in gear. And you can see a lot of videos before the people on YouTube get to see them. That's very exciting. You get to vote every single and then give our comments that we're going to read on the show. We do have a late entry from Lord Snurts. He's back with more. He heard me. He couldn't have heard me. He's not here. How did he hear me? It just says, Snurts is great. I have multiple references if needed.
I appreciate that.
And also, good luck with the stash, Mr. Pope.
I like
it. All right.
There it is.
Fantastic.
That is the extent of our comments, at least the ones that I saw. Look, I don't go on that that one website, and I didn't really see much on Threads, but I didn't really ask on Threads either, so maybe I dropped the ball. I don't know. I try to keep my eyes open and see everything that comes near me. You could always go to the Who Would Win Facebook group. It's the Who Would Win Geek News and Battles Facebook group. It's now got 166,000 people in it.
Wow.
It's a real big group, you guys. And so we should be hearing more. We should be getting more feedback. I got to look at when I'm posting these things, because quite honestly, I know a lot of people listen to the show. A lot of people are in that group, and there's a lot of people in that group who listen to the show. So maybe it's the holiday weekend. Memorial Day was throwing people off. Let me just say, releasing an episode on Memorial Day, not a good choice.
I mean,
yeah. Maybe a little bit. Not,
I guess.
I'll put it out there. Next time I'm releasing on a Tuesday.
Yeah.
Sorry, schedule. I didn't like what happened when we released on a Monday.
Yes.
But we're good. A lot of people did end up checking it out. They just didn't check it out on day one because it was a holiday. They weren't gonna.
I mean, at least we picked heroes that were colored for patriotism. So we got the red, white, and the blue.
People listen to podcasts in their routine, in their schedule, when they're driving to work. When you drop on a holiday, when you drop it on Christmas Day, people aren't hold on, honey. I'm not going to open the presents yet. Tell the children to wait. Ray's talking on my podcast.
Well, people who are not me.
I mean, listen, here's the deal. I mean, I understand Delvin Cox is the one exception. If you at home are on a holiday and you want to cut yourself a video of you telling your children they have to wait on presents or their birthday even because Ray is talking, I guarantee I will find a way to put that online somewhere.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Because I'm a hateful person.
Ray's talking. So
I don't care if it's real or staged. I just think it's hilarious.
Yes.
I probably should.
Now we're walking into some weird Jimmy Kimmel land. I don't know if we want to do that.
No. Oh, boy. Well, anyway, we're going to take a quick commercial break, and then we're going to come back. We're going to reveal the next episode, what the battle is, who the guest debater is, and we're going to talk a little bit about what we've been into lately, and we'll be right back with that in just a moment.
Offer valid on standard browsers, U.S. only.
When I heard about Date My Age, I thought, really? But there I was in my empty, quiet house, my laptop on the kitchen counter, and I typed in my name. Looking for a man between the ages of 40 to 60? Sure, why not?
Date My Age is different. With verified profiles, you can feel safe and secure to explore meaningful connections with interesting and mature singles.
Date My Age made it really easy. I could join and view online profiles for free. All of a sudden, my empty house wasn't so quiet anymore. I got so much attention, it just made me feel seen and alive. Date My Age helped me start a totally new chapter in my life.
Find a friend, a lover, a partner at Date My Age. Get 60% off when you join at datemyage.com today. That's datemyage.com to connect with thousands of singles worldwide. datemyage.com.
Wow. Was that an eternity for you guys? It was like nine for
forever.
Me.
I'm definitely buying that product that they just said.
That service sounded very useful.
What a game changer.
Let me tell you, T-Mobile... Holy crap. T-Mobile is legit. That's the real thing, you guys. T-Mobile, wow.
I was today's years old when I learned I needed that there thing.
Listen, I'm just saying, last time I listened to the last episode, there were like three T-Mobile ads on it.
Yes, there were.
Really? For somebody, that's gonna be wild that I just said that. Because we don't actually know what the ads are.
Yeah. Not even a little bit.
No. McDonald's loves us a lot too. I don't know what's going on with that, but I'm loving it.
Did you know that the rapper Pusha T came up with that?
Really?
I did not.
Yes. Pusha T and Justin Timberlake.
And Justin Timberlake.
No, I'm not surprised those two know each other.
Yes.
But I am surprised by that. You know, the greatest is those. Yeah, the Brian Cox ads. Brian Cox, the great actor from, you know, Succession most recently. I know him from X2 and from the Hannibal movie. What was that old Hannibal movie called? You know, he was the first Hannibal Lecter. A lot of people don't know that Brian Cox from Succession is the first person to play Hannibal Lecter on screen. Manhunt, that's what it was called. A great movie. Different take on the character, but, you know, he's an excellent actor and it's well worth checking out.
Okay.
I don't even know why I'm doing a rub for that right now. It's just, that's how I feel.
What if that was the commercial? That would be impressive.
No, oh my God. A commercial for like 1986 like Manhunt movie on DVD? Yeah. Oh my gosh. Let me tell you. But go check it out. I don't know. But speaking of which, I want to talk to you guys about what we've been watching lately. I feel like we have a chance to be curators of art forms for people at home. So I'm asking about what TV you're watching, what movies you're watching, what video games you're playing, what other stuff you're into. Board games, etc. We're having a lot of wild times. Delvin, you're our guest here today, in theory. So go ahead and start us off. What have you been watching and into lately?
Surprisingly, right before I got on the show, I watched that Looney Tunes movie, The Day Earth Blew Up.
Okay.
It was really good.
Yeah?
I loved it. I saw it in theaters. I loved it a lot.
Yeah, I was surprised how good it was, how entertaining it was. I'm like, wow, why don't we get more movies like this?
Why apparently, don't we?
Apparently, there was another one that was supposed to be coming out.
Yeah, but it is coming out now. Somebody bought the rights to Wile E. Coyote versus Acme.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
Starring Will Forte. And it is going to see light of day now, which all you could hope for.
I was pleasantly surprised how good this movie was. It was super entertaining. It was a good blend of what old Looney Tunes were and modern Looney Tunes. I was super excited for it. It's a great movie. Really good plot, really good story. I liked it a lot. Way more than I expected to like.
Very funny. I laughed a lot more in that movie well out loud than I thought I was going to. I thought coming in I might have like two laughs, you know? It was way more than that. I was laughing more than my 7-year-old was. I'll tell you that.
Great movie.
Like, I was into it.
I also watched the Minecraft movie.
Oh, I love the Minecraft movie.
It's such a weird movie.
Oh, you didn't love it as much as I did?
No, I liked it a lot. But as a person who's never played Minecraft, my son played Minecraft when he was younger. He's like a huge Minecraft fan. I watched like, what is going on in this movie?
Right.
I was asking, is this character in the game? Like, no. Like, but is this one is? Yeah, this one is. Like, okay. It was such a wild acid trip of a movie. But it's fun.
I'm a big fan. How much did the movie end up making? It grossed over $900 million. It missed the $1 billion mark, which honestly surprised me. But it is easily, by quite a bit, the number one movie of the year. Now, Lilo and Stitch is probably going to give it a run for its money.
For sure.
Have not seen that one yet. I want to see it, though.
I'll talk about that one in a little bit, because I did see it, but I don't want to go next. Are you playing any video games, watching any good TV shows lately?
I am still playing Doom the Dark Ages.
Oh, nice.
It's really good. Very violent. My type of game. A lot of action. Right? Beating up monsters. Yeah, I'm digging it.
You know, the wildest thing is Doom the Dark Ages stars Jason Kelly as the Doom Slayer. Or Doom Guy. He's your main character. Jason Kelly might be familiar to those of you who listen to Reclaim Detroit, a Vampire the Masquerade audio drama, as being the guy opposite me in episode 3, who I'm tricking the entire episode. That's the Doom Guy.
That is wild.
That's same, cool. And Jason Kelly's been a guest judge on the Who Would Win show in the previous iteration. And an all-around awesome guy. He wants to do more vampire things. And I'm nice. Like, you sure?
I wish busy. Somebody would write more vampire things for him.
I don't know why I brought it up. I knew I was walking into a landmine as soon as I started. But yeah, if you go back and listen to the Michael episode, that's Mr. Jason Kelly, the Doom Slayer, the Doom Guy, as Jackson Johnson. So there you go.
I may have something for him.
Oh, boy. There you go. There you go.
Look at that.
Last part, any TV shows? Anything else? Any board games playing? Any Final Girl lately?
Haven't played any Final Girl lately. What have I been playing? See, this is the problem. I buy a lot of board games, but I haven't been playing a lot of these board games.
I have the same hobby.
Yeah.
Several board games away. I need to play.
I love it.
The G.I. Joe one, what is it? The Battle for the something, I think it's called.
Battle for the Arctic Circle, Axis and Allies, G.I. Joe. I have it in shrink wrap still on the shelf behind me.
I do as well. I have that one. I have the Masters of the Universe one. I have, I think I got like 5 or 6. But I still have 3 Transformers Monopoly boards. There are 3 different ones, by the way. There are ones for the 80s series, one for the movie, and one for, I want to say, one of the 90s series?
One to show and one to go. What are we talking about? We got this.
Yes. No, I'm a big Monopoly guy. I love Monopoly.
I hate Monopoly. I'm a very famous Monopoly hater.
Me too.
The only Monopoly I play is Little Mermaid Ariel Monopoly with my 7-year-old. And we only play for about 20 minutes until she gets angry.
Oh, that's usually what happens in Monopoly.
That's when you play with a 7-year-old, that's usually how it goes.
That's usually what happens when you play with adults. Like, this game is too
maybe
long.
That's a problem with Monopoly, Delvin. Yes. Most other games with adults I play don't end that way.
Yeah, like, I don't play this. We've been playing for 3 hours.
Yeah, I recently saw that Monopoly released an expansion set that makes the game even longer, and I was like, great. What is wrong with you? That's who wants that?
You're going to be playing for days.
My God.
Oh, just stab me. That's terrible. Sam Proof, what have you been into lately?
Yeah, so we had some birthdays. It was my birthday and both of my daughters. And so we kind of round robin. Oh, thank you.
How about that?
We kind of do a round robin of every week. Someone gets to pick a movie. So I subjected them all to the Dungeons & Dragons Honor Among Thieves movie. I'm not sure they really appreciated
good. I haven't seen
it. Was
it.
So good. It was really good. You know, and you don't have to know D&D to watch it, but it definitely has some things there for those of you who do know it or watch the 80s cartoon. There's a couple of little references. It's a really fun time. Yeah, it was, I think, really well done. Yeah.
Did Ray tell you I introduced him to a special episode of the 80s cartoon?
We've not talked about that. No. For those of you knowing as half the podcast fans, you can find an episode with myself and Delvin Cox talking about a very special episode of the Dungeons & Dragons cartoon show that involves a pilot from what we will just call the losing side of World War II joining the team. He may have certain affiliations that would not, shouldn't be flying in the year 2025.
Yes. Oh my God.
And they kind of talk around that the entire time, but they don't not talk about it.
Yes.
Wow. It is. Go check out Knowing Is Half the Podcast. Check out that episode. Watch that D&D episode. It's on YouTube. You can find it. It's called the time something. It's the time episode. And yeah, good. It is. It is an episode that, you know, you're watching it for a little bit and you're like, oh, this is pretty normal. And all of a sudden you're like, uh-oh, we're going to some uncomfortable places here.
Oh, didn't know God. This was coming up.
Jesus. All right.
Yeah, we'll check that out. That was pretty rough. That was a pretty rough episode. Yes.
Yeah.
But what else you got, Sam?
No, I was going to say, if you want to go to some uncomfortable places, I finished watching The Handmaid's Tale. Watched the series finale of that. I was a huge fan of this series, and the last three episodes just fell flat for me. And I'm almost always the guy that, like, everyone else has problems with things, Walking Dead, Game of Thrones, and I'm like, I loved it. I went all the way. I thought it was great. You guys gave up because somebody's head got smashed in. Who cares? This was just so, like, built up and built up, and then they were like, yeah, we killed one guy, and we allude to 36 other people getting killed, and then this whole sort of end, like, series finale, which I knew all of the big stuff had happened. And spoiler alert for anyone who's for some reason not caught up to it. But like, I knew that this series finale was just going to wrap up loose ends, which it kind of did, but didn't completely because they have a spinoff coming.
Okay.
But like, it's just literally went in such a weird nostalgic direction. And then there's like some of this, like, so what are you going to do now, June? Maybe you should, I don't know, write a tale. And it didn't just happen once. Once would have been like, ha. But then it happened again, and I was like, oh my God, I want to kill myself.
Okay. You write a Handmaid's Tale?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You should write a tale about that all that time being a handmaid. I'm like, oh, come on, guys. Oh my God. Like, I really wanted, and I knew it wouldn't happen, but I really wanted her to be like, we've got unfinished business. I'm the president now. Let's go. And then fade to black. Like, smash cut. Like,
that would have been great.
Right. Yeah.
I'm going to say this is an unpopular opinion, but I really like it in movies and TV shows where they say the name of the thing. Like in the Minecraft movie, when they say, we're going to craft a mine. In other words, we're going to do a Minecraft.
Right.
I lost my mind. When they called John Spartan the Demolition Man, lost my mind. There is I think it was Penn Jillette, the very famous Penn and Teller magician. He has a bit whenever he sees a movie in theaters, especially with his friends, and they're all in on the bit, is they'll just enjoy the movie. And the first time the title of the movie is said, they have a bit where they all stand up and do a standing ovation for like 10, 15 seconds when the movie's title is said. And I kind of love that routine. I get every, because my wife hates this, but every single time we're watching a thing and they would be, you know, I don't think they did this, but if they were to say, like, that's why it's the Game of Thrones, I would immediately point at the TV like that one meme with Leo DiCaprio. Be like,
right, yes. Oh, that's exactly what I was thinking of.
Oh, he did it.
I think they did do that too, by the way.
Oh, maybe.
I think they did like, do it one
my
season.
God.
Especially when it's a real weird title and I know they're doing it on purpose, yeah. I get excited. That's like the writers like patting me on the back and saying, you get it. This guy gets it. God, and I love what that. I don't think people love that, but I love
no,
that.
No, not even a little bit.
I had a feeling it would not be a popular opinion.
There was that sort of zombie movie with Adam Driver and Bill Murray that had a really weird name. It was kind of an indie thing, but I feel like that definitely happened at some point in their God, oh God, what was that called? Now I have to look it up.
Zombieland?
No, it's not Zombieland, it had like a really
Adam Driver
no,
wasn't
no,
in
no.
Zombieland.
Yeah. It had a
Bill
really
Murray
sort
was.
Of
That's what like right.
It was The Dead Don't Die. And it was literally one of those, like, God, it's like this small little indie thing.
I don't know.
And
this
like,
one.
It's kind of got like a Wes Anderson feel to it. Not the visual of it, but the storytelling element of it, where it's, you know, just a lot of character building, right? And like, the intensity never gets to like 11, but it's interesting. And you're like, oh, it's a zombie movie.
There are so many famous people in this movie. This is upsetting.
It's a great. It's
I'm looking at
it's a really good movie.
A lot of people.
Yeah, it's just it's not a typical zombie movie, and that's I think why it did. You know, it's a focus film, right? Isn't that right? I think.
Oh man,
it's one of those sort of things.
Google reviews
you know?
Has it as a 2.1 out of 5.
Yeah,
that means
right.
This is
not
a
great.
Hit, maybe.
It's not
but, like,
marketed for those
this.
People. Yeah, it's such a good
no.
cast, but it's
like,
not
this is what's
a zombie
great to
movie.
Me is I'm looking.
Yeah.
I'm looking at the cast list. You got Bill Murray, Adam Driver. Then you got Tilda Swinton, Chloe Sevigny, Danny Glover. But what I love about this is the six person listed, six billing, is Sarah awesome. Driver as Coffee Zombie number two. But then after her, you get Selena Gomez, Steve Buscemi, and Tom Waits of all people. What is happening? Okay. How do I not know this movie?
It's a movie with Tom Waits in it, and that's what you need to know, who famously is in these sort of art house indie films. So if you go into it with like, oh, it's a Tom Waits is in this movie, then you know what you're getting into. But if you go into it like, well, it's Bill Murray and zombies, you're looking for Zombieland. It's not going to be that. This is a great movie.
I got Iggy Pop and RZA are in this movie.
Which is weird. I don't think Iggy Pop was actually alive for this. Is he still alive? He is a zombie, right? Like, that's just not even... He didn't audition for that or anything.
Maybe that's the proof we needed that zombies are real.
Yeah.
I find it wild that this movie came out the same year as Rise of Skywalker. And this might be the better Adam Driver movie.
Wow. That is bold.
I'm sure this was a movie that like he'd... Like they shot years before, held on to it, and they were like, I don't know if we're ever going to release this. And then that came out, and they were like, no, we're going to release this now.
Man, when is this Adam Driver fellow going to be a big deal? Oh, uh-oh. Time to drop it.
Yeah.
That's awesome. You got any more, Sam?
I mean, real quick,
you know, I finished watching.
Yeah, we finished up Your Friends and Neighbors with John Hamm, which was a very good season and series finale that did what you wanted it to do in the end, which I don't want to give away too much, but it's rich guy loses loses his high-paying job and starts to do crime, and then, of course, things just fly off the rails. That was well done. And then we started watching this show called Adults, which I'm not sure if
I've heard that's good.
I don't know. I don't know if I like it or hate it.
You don't
it's somewhere
like it?
In the middle. It, you know, here's the thing. This is a, I want to say it's intentionally a dark comedy, but I don't know that it is. It is a comedy, and it's like if Friends was made with, you know, millennials, and they don't know how to be humans. That's what it is. So it's like kind of fascinating to watch because I'm like, I'm considerably older now, despite my youthful appearance and you know, the
I'm
way I live my
that.
Life. Right. Yeah, and I'm like,
27 years old.
Yeah, that's it. I'm a little older than those guys. And I'm like, maybe I don't know what it's like to be a 20 something anymore. So that's kind of fascinating.
Weird.
And at the same time, you're like, how do you not know how to do life? Like, I don't know how to do some things, stock market, whatever, but like I could do my own laundry or, you know, make a tuna fish sandwich, but I'm pretty sure these characters could not.
Oh boy.
So see, there's something
back
there.
In my 20s, I didn't know how to be in my 20s. So
yeah,
that's fair.
Maybe there's a lot of,
I don't know anything now. That's fine.
That's fine.
Well, I'll go through my list really quick. I saw Lilo and Stitch, the live action in theaters. And I liked it a lot. I'm not exactly a giant Lilo and Stitch head. I appreciate the older animated movie. I love that Kevin McDonald from Kids in the Hall is in it. And I love that Zach Galifianakis, surprise, is in the new one. He was wonderful. And I really appreciated his performance along the way. I see it got some weird heat. I don't know.
Yeah.
I didn't understand. Like, I think anybody getting mad at this movie just wants to be mad about things.
Right.
I thought it was great. I really enjoyed it.
Awesome.
A lot more than I thought I was going to, honestly.
Well, that's good to hear. I think we're seeing that next weekend.
I'm going
to
shout out. Definitely. I definitely should go see it. There's another movie. That one might top Minecraft and hit the billion. And I kind of hope it does. I think, you know, I like it when, look, I'm the person on the internet you're surprised to hear from, but like, I'm happy when Disney gets wins.
Yeah.
Because I think they, generally speaking, put out some pretty good stuff. And I really don't like it when they lose a bunch of money because it means they're going to take less chances.
Yeah.
Not that Lilo and Stitch is the greatest chance they could be taking.
Right.
Like, if they have here's the deal. Success after success after success in the MCU is what let us have movies like The Multiverse of Madness, Doctor Strange, or Shang-Chi and The Legend of the Ten Rings. Like, if it's not popular, they don't take those chances and give us those really, really good movies that I liked a lot. So they're a studio I trust to some degree. I would say that. And as far as video games go, look. Oh, no, I'm going to shout out one thing before video games. A movie that just occurred to me. It's on Shudder. I got the Shudder app for this year. I treated myself around the holidays. And there's a movie called The Coffee Table.
I've seen that one.
This is maybe the darkest comedy I've ever seen in my entire life, in that it's not necessarily hilarious, but it's uncomfortable. But it is one of the darkest movies I've ever seen. It's an indie film. Delvin, what would you say about The Coffee Table?
It's disturbing. It's not for everybody.
It's not for anybody.
Really dark movies, you might dig it.
Yeah, look, as somebody with a young kid, it hit a little differently.
Yes.
But like, you know, it does things that I can understand people wouldn't like. But here's the deal. I'm going to put this out there right now. If you are a single, no kids guy, not even single, a no kids guy, and you like dark stuff, you like really uncomfortable, dark indie films, try The Coffee Table.
There you go.
It is absurd to dark levels that I was laughing, but laughing at the audacity of this movie to do the things that it was doing. And it for 90 minutes, it's not long, for 90 minutes, it somehow keeps it to like one location. You're in one apartment basically the whole time, and it keeps heightening. But that's crazy, because 10 minutes in, it's the most heightened it could possibly get. But it keeps going, and that's where the ridiculousness comes from.
Yes.
The Coffee Table, ladies and gentlemen.
All right.
Definitely, look, and if you watch it, you like it, hit me up. If Almighty Ray 316 on Threads. If you saw it, you didn't like it, hit me up, because I understand both. Yes. I get why it would not hit with a lot of people. It is a wild movie. I was not expecting it to go the directions that it went, and I'll leave it at that. Don't want to spoil anything. It's best left unspoiled. Just don't even read the blurb. Just watch it, and you will be shocked. It's great. And then last thing, Blueprints. I beat Blueprints, but I didn't finish all the content. I was playing it last time we talked. I got to stop playing it. It's eating up too much of my time, and I'm to a point in it now where it feels like a job. So I'm going to be starting a new game. People at home to tell me. I want to start maybe Silent Hill 2 Remake. Maybe that's, I'm going to start Clair Obscura Expedition 33. I've heard good things about that.
Also a good one.
Disco Elysium is on my short list, as is Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. Delvin, where would you go there?
It depends on which one. Do you want to play something for a while, or you want to play something for? Because Final Fantasy and Claire feel like they're going to be long experiences.
They're long games, huh? Yeah.
Yeah, I think. Claire isn't as long as Final Fantasy.
Okay.
So I would probably say start with Silent Hill 2.
Okay. Here's the deal. I'm a huge Silent Hill fan, so I'm a big fan. I need to actually go back and replay 4 on my retro system I've got set up here 2 feet away from me. But I do need to check that out. Silent Hill 2 Remake has gotten great reviews. It should have won Game of the Year. Sorry, Astrobot. I don't know what anybody was thinking there. I haven't even played it, and I know Silent Hill 2 should have won Game of the Year.
People love Astrobot. They love that game.
They do, but, I mean, what are we doing?
I bought it, and my daughter took my copy and never gave it back.
Oh, wow.
Wow, okay.
She just still plays. Like, I would like to play this game one day, but you just took it.
Like, platformers are back, baby, for at least 1 year. Until they're not anymore.
Then we're back in the dark ages of no platformers.
We're back to Doom the Dark Ages. And that brings us full circle. Thank you so much for joining us today. That is going to do it for this episode. Delvin Cox, I would thank you for being here, but you snuck in. You don't thank a stowaway for helping with the ship's chores.
That is correct.
I have nothing more to say. Delvin, plug your stuff and then Sam can get us out of here.
All right.
Go read a story about how Pusha T wrote the McDonald's theme song.
It's pretty good.
Check out the Delvin Cox Experience anywhere you get podcasts. I may have something really cool coming up in October. I'll just leave
it. I'm coming back? This is the first I'm hearing about it.
Probably.
Cool. Oh, wow. Okay, great.
That's not a surprise, though, by the way. Don't think that.
Oh, all right. Fair. Fair enough. That's a plug. Sam, the show's going on too long.
Yes, it is. All right. Thanks for hanging out with us. And of course, join us on all of the places, especially patreon.com/whowouldwinshow. Join us for next week's show.
Sam, yeah, Ray. I have to interrupt you. I didn't actually tell the next battle.
I was going to set you up, but go on.
No one's going to remind me. I just was ready to get out of here. Mr. Ray Carcillo, who is fantastic. He's a sports guy. He runs the Geeks Who Like Sports podcast, which I was very recently on. Ray Carcillo is coming to debate me. This is going to be a tough battle, as we have Link from The Legend of Zelda from Ray Carcillo versus me, who is repping Sung Jin Woo from Solo Leveling. It's a video game versus anime battle, and I really hope y'all take a shot at it, even if you're not into those two things. We are going to bring hot fire, and it's going to be a lot of fun.
I'm excited for it.
Yeah, and if you think, wow, that was cool. If you think you've got what it takes to be a part of the Who Would Win Masters, let's do that again without the puberty thing. And if you think
we'll have to go through it eventually.
Leave it in there.
Thanks, guys. Hey, that's what I'm going for. I hope they're hiring.
Sorry, sir. Here's your popcorn.
If you think you've got what it takes to be a part of Who Would Win Masters, record a 1-minute demo of yourself and send it off to whowouldwinshow@gmail.com. And who knows, maybe next time you'll be the one in the challenger's chair for Who Would Win Masters. This is Sam Proof. Stay strong.
Thanks for listening.
Thanks, guys.
Hey, it's Brent Pope, the host of Breakfast with Brent Pope. You've seen me on some of your favorite TV shows saying things like, "Give it up, Jimmy. You got to sink this putt to win." On Breakfast with Brent Pope, I sit down with guests from the entertainment world and we do it all over breakfast. Or should I say Breakfast? Every week on Breakfast, you get inside Hollywood info and tips, great breakfast recs and booty debates. Most of all, you get the most delightful 30 minutes of your week. So dig in. It's Breakfast time. Listen at Breakfast.com, Apple Podcasts, or wherever fine podcasts are found.
Are you a geek who likes sports?
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are. We hope it is good. Welcome to another edition of Geeks Who Like Sports. The Yankees really kind of mailed it in. She's the Goblin Queen. It's legit. Football 101. Take what the defense gives you.
The NBA All-Star Game is fake. The Emperor would absolutely throw Vader under the bus.
Listen or watch Geeks Who Like Sports on YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts.
Looking to buy your dream home or rent that perfect apartment? With the Redfin app, you'll know the moment your next place hits the market. Set up your gotta-have-it wish list, and Redfin will send you real-time notifications for properties that match. And when you're ready to see it in person, scheduling a tour is just a tap away. Thinking about selling? Redfin can do that too. In fact, Redfin agents close twice as many deals as other agents, so they know how to get the best price for your home. And with a listing fee as low as 1%, Redfin charges half of what others often charge. So you could save big, like really big. Last year, Redfin saved home sellers $118 million. So whether you're buying, renting, or selling, Redfin's ready to help you win. Download the Redfin app and start searching today.